We are on chapter 30, The Doubting Castle is Demolished. But we haven't met in 2 months. It's been since, I think it was like November 10th was our last meeting, and this is January 12th. So it's been a while since we've been together. I'm pretty sure when I look back, it was the 10th of November. Yep, so November 10th to the 12th, which is of January, which is right at 2 months. So we've missed seeing each other. We've missed looking at Christiana. Maybe sometime during this break you read the rest of the book. Maybe you didn't. Maybe you just read the next chapter. Maybe you didn't. But I want us to, because it's been so long, I want us to do a quick review of Christiana's progress. Now, we're not going to try Pilgrims too. And yet we know that as we've looked at, I hope you've started this. Thank you, the people who are supposed to take care of it. I hope you, if you haven't read Pilgrim's Progress, the first part, so much of the second part reflects back. Also, where did I put it? We have the DVD, if anybody would still like to watch it. This is an animated version of Pilgrim's Progress. If you can take it home and bring it back next week, we can do that. Janelle, you remember? Very good. Did you get to watch it? Oh, good. So if anybody wants this, just call me or just come up here and get it afterwards. It's well done and pretty close to the book itself. So that will help you if you haven't done it or if you want just to have a reminder of what's been going on in his progress. So let's review. And we want to do this fairly quickly because this is a good chapter that we're having. Pilgrim had, why do we have two parts? Why do we have part one and part two? She didn't go with him. She tried to make him not go. The family cried when he went, but she was obstinate and she would not encourage him. She wouldn't go with him. So she was a hindrance to Pilgrim leaving on this calling from the evangelist to go. And basically that was a calling to do what? To be a Christian. That was his call, his internal and external call. He had a portion of some scripture that we would call scripture. He called the book. But this is an allegory, so everything is pictured. Everything we know is pictured in the book, in Bunyan's writing, as maybe something else. But pretty much where we can figure out what it is, right? So Christiana and her children did not go. So how does our book, second part, start? With her calling, with her conviction of sin, with her, with the Holy Spirit, as we would say, calling her to come to know the Lord, to start this pilgrimage. Now, Bunyan pictures this walk of life as a pilgrimage where you leave what was behind and you go through these various, both physical and not physical places. You'll go to this place and you'll have this trial. You'll go to this place and you have this encouragement. So he pictures life for us by events and places. Okay? So that's what this is all about, the Christian life, being called and then living that Christian life until you come to the end and go to heaven, which is the celestial city. So Christiana, and in our first chapter, she and her friend Mercy join her and they start their journey. First thing they hit is the swamp of despondence. They hit this swamp and Pilgrim has fallen in and is almost stuck there. But what happens to Christiana and Mercy and the four boys, the four children? And don't you think it's wonderful? I'll go ahead and say this because this will help you. Don't you think it's wonderful that it seems like everybody knows about Pilgrim's journey? Everybody says, oh, when Pilgrim got here, he did this. Oh, when Pilgrim got here, he did this. Or this happened to him here. So as they got up to the swamp, what did Mercy say? Be careful. Pilgrim wasn't careful, and they just walked right into it, this mud pit. And so they were careful, and they looked for the stones. And they had some trouble getting over, but they did without falling into the swamp. So we have that. And then what's the first place that they would, the first place they were looking for in their journey. The gate, the entrance, the time of salvation, the time of having the calling and coming and saying, surrendering to be one of God's children. So they went into the gate, they knocked and knocked, and the gatekeeper opened, and Mercy didn't get in, and she cried and cried and knocked, and just was so tired of doing it and weeping and afraid that she wouldn't be accepted into the kingdom of God, to where finally the gatekeeper opened the door and welcomed her in with just, with great kindness and gentleness. And so they went in, they were refreshed. This was the beginning of their Christian journey now. Okay, so their next stop, and we're not going to talk about everything because we won't get finished, was the House of Interpreter. And what was the House of Interpreter doing? What was there? There was the interpreter who was interpreting what? Runes. He was teaching them, what? Teaching them lessons. We would go, when we become a Christian, where is the best place for us to be? In church. This is a picture of what, part of what the church does, the body of Christ. Teaches you things you didn't know. Teaches you about God's grace, how God calls, how God wins over Satan. All these things that we need to know, we call them doctrines and promises. And the covenants, all these things. So, as interpreters, they were beginning to be taught about the walk of a Christian, about being a Christian. So they had various rooms that they went in with, I won't say word pictures, but they had actual pictures or actual things that they saw, and they learned a lesson from that. Object lessons, we call it, right? When we used to teach children, there would be a book of object lessons you could use to teach them such and such and such and such. So then after they left Interpreter, remember that Greatheart had been with them part of the time. After they left Interpreter, Greatheart helped them through the Hill of Difficulty, because when they left the gatekeeper's house, that they were accosted, Christiana and Mercy were accosted by some men on the path. And they called him something else. The reliever came and helped them, who they find out was Greatheart. It was like a picture of the Holy Spirit coming and giving them direction and guide. So he helped them up the Hill of Difficulty. And anything about the Hill of Difficulty other than it being a hill that you remember? Going uphill was what? Difficult, because it's a hill of difficulty. It was hard for them, particularly the children, and they would want to stop and they'd want to rest, and Greatheart said, wait till you get to the king's arbor, to the place that the king, and always when they talk about the prince of the land, the king of the land, the great shepherd, they're referring to God the Father. So, they did. They remembered what happened to Pilgrim there, where he fell asleep and too long at the arbor, and he let his papers fall. So he did wake up, run all the way to the top, realize he didn't have his papers, run all the way back, find his papers, run all the way back up. I don't know that he quite ran that last lap, you know, but he did make it to the interpreter's house. All right, when they get to the interpreter's house, they're leaving the interpreter's house and they're going up. When they get to House Beautiful or the family, what does Greatheart do? We have the first of four battles, really five battles. We have the first of these battles that we have in Christiana. Pilgrim has a battle with Apollyon at one point, but here with Christiana, there's like four or five battles. Which one do we have there when you get to the Hill of Difficulty? I'll go ahead and tell you, it's a giant Grimm. And he's there working alongside the lions that are at the gate. And but Greatheart slays him so that he will not be a hindrance to them getting in. They realize and they remember that the lions are chained, that they can't stop them. So they are able to enter the house beautiful. Another lovely picture of the house, I mean of the church of God, where you are refreshed, you come in, you tell your story, you tell who you are, brought into the membership of the family, and the family takes care of you and ministers to you. And so here we have just a beautiful, beautiful picture of this at Porter's Lodge or the House Beautiful. They prepare them to go the rest of their journey. And here they realize that I think that Greatheart has left them. He's going back. And they said, "You made the mistake of not asking for me to help you the whole way." And so they send for him, and he comes back and is with them now from the House Beautiful, from the Porter's Lodge. They go downhill into the Valley of Humiliation and the Shadow of Death. Now, can you remember, is their trip through the Valley of Humiliation and the Shadow of Death like Pilgrim's trip? It's very different, isn't it? What are some of the differences, and why are they different? Why some of the differences? Now, they've been given some things to take with them, but they have Greatheart with them. So what happens? As they come through here, one of the differences, Pilgrim went through what? At night. It was dark. They go through, it's daylight. Pilgrim has had battle with Apollyon. And so as they go through, they stop, and Greatheart shows them where this battle was. They even see some blood stains still on the ground. And but they don't meet him. And maybe that's because the Holy Spirit, Greatheart, is with them, and he is protecting them. I'll say this in a minute, because we've talked about this several times. They go through the Valley of Humiliation without much problem. And then they get through the Shadow of Death. And what's the difference here? Again, Pilgrim's going through at night, and they're going through with light. Which would remember Pilgrim's journey. It was he heard things, but he couldn't see things. He realized that there was sometimes he was on this very narrow path, and if he left, either way he would have fallen off. He came to this pit. There were hobgoblins and people, things whispering in his ear, and he was very much afraid. But his sword didn't do him any good. He was given some weapons, a sword to fight the battles, and the weapon of prayer. And he realized that prayer was the weapon that he needed through this valley of the shadow of death. So he makes it through with much prayer. He uses the gifts that God's given us, the tool, the armor of much prayer to get through here, through snares, through this pit with ugly things are up and, yeah, you know, making ghoulish sounds, and then through snares. And as they go through during the day, they still hit the pit, and they don't know what to do. But Greatheart says, pray. We need to pray. And so the pit kind of calms down, and they're able to just go around it and get through there. But they do still smell horrible, stinky smells of things. So they get through there. One of the things Bunyan is teaching us here is that all of us go through, if you're thinking of the shadow of death, all of us go through death differently. No two people go through the experience of dying the same. It's different for everybody. We can't say, well, you know, my mother had a very easy death. Well, your mother may have had a very hard death. You know, they're very different. My mother or my whatever went peacefully because of their of how they live. This person went through with much pain and sorrow. I mean, I'm not talking about pain, physical pain necessarily, but emotional pain of guilt or just not knowing the Lord. That pain and that sorrow and that fear of what you're going to meet. So everybody's experience through the valley of the shadow of death, Christian and not Christian, is different. Then we have one of these times where we get an autobiography. We get a picture of somebody's life. Pilgrim had that several times in there. So they meet Mr. Honest or Old Honest, and he tells his story. and he joins them. They meet Mr. Fearing, and Mr. Fearing, and we hear his story. I'm looking at what page numbers. It's not in that book. It's in this book. In page 345, we hear them talk about and describe Mr. Fearing. He's not one that, he's one they talk about, not one that joins them. But he's very much afraid, and they were talking about how afraid he was of everything, and you didn't know how he would ever get through, but he does come into the celestial kingdom. And let's see. Oh, I'm in 55. I thought that doesn't look right. 345. Okay. I'm on the wrong page. As they talk about Mr. Fearing, he said, he was an earnest man. This is the paragraph almost to the end. He was a very earnest man, as one may see by what I've related of him. He didn't fear difficulties, lions, or the Vanity Fair at all. It was only sin, death, and hell that were a terror to him, and that was because he had some doubts about his share in the celestial country. The things that troubled him, he would stand up when there was an enemy of God coming, but the things that troubled him were about his own life. Two things differ on the next page. His troubles were so great that they broke out. Christiana says, I'm very similar. His troubles were so great that they broke out. And some people, Christiana said, I keep mine inside, within. And he also lay hard upon, his also lay so hard upon him that they made him so that he couldn't knock at the house provided for entertaining. But my trouble was always such that made me knock. So he'd be afraid that he wasn't worthy, that he was not acceptable, and so like he wouldn't knock at Gaius's house. He wouldn't knock at the House Beautiful, for afraid that he wouldn't be accepted. And so Christiana says, mine were such that I had to come in there and get refreshed and get this being cared for and shepherded and taught. I needed that. So we met Mr. Fearing. He's one that does make it to the celestial city. We met Mr. Selfwill, who was very presumptuous. They talked about Mr. Selfwill, who works. He thought that his righteous works would get him to heaven, and that he would be forgiven, and presumed that he could sin and be forgiven. And that goes on everywhere. We have a doctrine now, a group that believes that just sin more and God will forgive you. Just sin, God will forgive you. And Paul says, oh, God forbid that we would sin to have more grace. So then they get to the house of Gaius right before they get to the Vanity Fair. And here we, oh, I forgot, in the shadow of death, at the end there we meet someone else. We meet another battle. And this is to kill the giant Maul, who was at the end trying to keep them from leaving the Valley of the Shadow of Death. So we have Giant Grim, Giant Maul, that Greatheart defeats with the sword after a long, both of them are fairly long battles. House of Gaius, we have conversation, we have talking, we have teaching, we have, I think it's even there that we have the catechizing of the children, you know, question and answer, and then proverb and answer, proverb, what does this proverb mean, back and forth. A teaching method of the young as well as us older people. So we have that. At the end, there is a hill where there is the giant Slaygood, and he is taking people as they go, and children as they go through the path, and so they go out to slay giant Slaygood. And when they do, they realize that there's someone in his cave. He's in the cave and he doesn't want to come out, but they finally get him out and they defeat him. And so they rescue Mr. Feeble Mind, who is sort of weak-minded. And so they bring him back, and he comes with them. As they're coming back, and in Vanity Fair, Mr. About to Fall and Mr. Feeble Mind join together, because Mr. Feeble Mind is like, you know, I'm not good enough to join with y'all. And Mr. About to Fall, who has a crutch, says, I can't keep up. Y'all go ahead. Y'all go on. And that's what he said to other ones who have tried to get him to come with them. Go on. I'm too slow. Go on. And so what we're seeing, they are in Vanity Fair. Well, I'll talk about what we're seeing is what? We have a lot more characters here in the second part who are not strong. They're weak, but they're believers. They're on this journey. When you read Pilgrim's Progress, you see Pilgrim, strong, mighty, and you see faithful and hopeful with him. And then you see all these characters that are false believers and trying to keep you, or else trying to keep you off the path and take you off the path. But in the second part, because we're, one, he's realizing in those years between writing one and the other that he needs to talk about the weaker believers. Spurgeon says, in commenting on this, that, you know, we need to take care of the weaker believers, but sometimes we as Christians go, you can't do it, then you shouldn't be here. They demean and ignore the weak brothers in the church. So here he's bringing us several people, lots of characters that are weaker, including the two women and the children. And so he's also bringing strong ones too. He's bringing Mr. Greatheart, who is the helper, but Mr. Old Honest, and others that we're going to see and meet. So we have the weak and the strong, but we see a lot more of the weak and how they are ministered to by the rest and how they become a family of people, everyone doing their part. Each person has a part of the family, right? You can be an arm, you can be a leg, you can be a liver, you can be a mouth, you can be, you know, all of us have a purpose. And some parts are stronger than others. So he's showing us that the church is full of weak and strong believers. But the belief and those weak and strong believers both get to heaven. They both finish the race, and God brings them on to his kingdom. At Vanity Fair, what's different about Vanity Fair now and when Pilgrim came through? Right. Yeah, you could live there as a believer, as a Christian, as a pilgrim, as they would say. You could, because they were friends of Mr. And we're going to pronounce it Nason. I don't know how it's MN. So which of those do you use? They stayed at the house of Nason, and who would not take anything for it. At the end, we saw that he said, "No, this is my gift, and this is what I do." They stayed there, but they realized that there were many. I wouldn't say the whole town had become converted, but there were more believers, and part of it was going back to what Pilgrim, and then their burning at the stake of faithful. So we see that there was the effect of Christianity from the time Pilgrim came through. The effect on the church, on the town, the people of Christian and hope of faithful had made a difference, and the life they lived, the words they said, the example of God working in somebody made a difference. We call it the Christian influence, even though sometimes, for instance, in our nation at the founding, we weren't all Christians. But the Christians who were there affected this country so much with the Christian leaven that we would call this a Christian nation. But that didn't mean everybody was Christians. But there was so much leaven by the Christians. They were so strong and so faithful in everything they did that they made an effect. We're seeing that dissipate in our country now. We're not making that effect. The enemy is growing stronger and stronger, and we seem to be growing weaker and weaker. But we will not give up. So we have their time in Vanity Fair, and we see the differences. So they ended up staying there a good while, whereas Pilgrim and Faithful died there, and Pilgrim didn't stay too long. But as they leave the town, they see that here's another battle. It's not with the giant. What is it with? This serpent with, you know, described as a serpent in Revelation with the ten heads. And I have to look it back up again to get it all. But this serpent that is grabbing children, taking people as they walk by the way. Do they kill him? Do you remember from 2 months ago? No, they do not kill him, but they wound him, and they make him retreat back into his cave, and they do mortal wounds, but not the death blow. What does that tell you? Remind you of anything that we talk about? Satan's still alive. God, Jesus defeated him at the cross, but he has not yet put him to his end to death. That will come. And so that serpent is still going to be working, but not nearly as hard as it was before. So we see that. Now we come to Doubting Castle. And we kind of see a few things before we get there. What do we see first? Oh, yeah, they do have a lot of weddings. Yeah, the sons, Mercy marries one of the sons. Gaius gives two of his daughters to them, and somebody else gives one. I've forgotten who it is. So they all end up with wives. And so we have weddings. And before they leave the Vanity Fair, they finish up those weddings. Yes. So now we're talking. Remember I told you don't think about terms of years? Because they're little ones when they come, when we start. And now they're married, and we have no concept of time in there. So they're leaving. They all have wives. And at one point, you're going to think maybe they're starting to have children, but you can't tell for sure. He's not real clear about that. But so they leave after the wedding. The first thing they come upon is that hill of lucre. And what does that mean, hill of lucre? What does the word lucre mean? We don't use that word anymore. Huh? That lucrative comes from that. It's gain. There was a silver mine somewhere down there, and it was it's money, it's wealth, and we sometimes call it filthy lucre. You know, when we use lucre, we kind of use it in the negative context as filthy lucre. And so, what do they see there? They see a silver mine, and they think that Demas, at one point back in the other one, must have fallen into that silver mine. And what's that a picture of for you, that he maybe fell into that silver mine, couldn't get out again? The love of money was more strong than the love of God. And we see this pillar of salt. And they talk about what they say, that it seems to be looking like, and his picture in our book has it look like Lot's wife. The desire to not leave Sodom and Gomorrah because of the wealth and the provision, and she turned back to look. Jennifer, I don't know if y'all read Jennifer's Facebook post. I try to read hers because she's such a good writer. Our daughter, Jennifer. But in thinking about Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah, she's reading through the Bible on that chronological Bible. She said, and I'm reading with my daddy's Bible. And so it hit me. She said, she told us, I'm reading to read every word, you know, instead of reading to get through. You know, there's a difference. You skim a book, you skim a newspaper article, maybe you read it real fast. But she's trying to read it, and she got it reminded, or she saw, she said, I've never seen this before. You know how we are. And I am too. I read something. I've read a lot in the Bible, and I go, oh, I've never seen that before. I've never noticed that. That just like, boom, in neon lights at me. And she saw that they did not, they weren't coming. And the angel had to grab Lot's hands and pull him because he wouldn't take heed that we've got to leave. So he hurried him. He took him. And she said, and there written in my daddy's Bible were the words gracious, relentless, and forgot the other one, but three words about how the angel was relentless to get them out of there and took them away. And picturing that that's the Holy Spirit. Even when he calls us, he is gracious and relentless and can't remember the third one, but won't stop until we come to know the Lord. That is that call of the Spirit to us. And I was thinking about that when here Lot's wife still didn't heed, did she? She still did not listen, and she turned her head and looked back and was turned into a pillar of salt. So they have that picture of him. The hill, it says, they considered that. But when they came to the old monument which stood over by the hill Lucre, that is, the pillar of salt, which stood within view of Sodom and its stinking lake, they marveled, as Christian had before, that men of knowledge and reason and reasoned wit that they had could be so blinded and turn aside, following after riches, following after this lucre. So they considered again that nature is not affected with the inflictions that others have met, especially if that thing upon which they look has an attracting quality to a foolish eye, that not everybody has the same inflictions that you have. Not everybody sees things in the same way. Depends on where you've been, what you've done, what you've dealt with, where you are in your heart. And so these people were just turned. And lots of people would go down this hill of lucre and be lost forever. So they saw that. They saw the river beside the delightful mountains. And what did they see there? Okay, they saw the fine trees. They saw the meadow below. They saw shelters for the sheep. It was just a place here. The delightful mountains are probably on the other side of this river, and this river is flowing beside. And what they're seeing is little sheep being taken care of, the shepherd taking care of the sheep. There are also individuals there who are entrusted with their care. It says, it's a picture of, well, I'll tell you in a minute. In the meadow beside this river were shelters and folds for sheep and a house built for nourishing and raising those lambs, the babes of women who go on a pilgrimage. There was also an individual there who was entrusted to their care, one who could have compassion and who gathers the lambs with his arms and carries them close to his heart. It seems like it's a beautiful example of what Christ does for his children, what the church does in nurturing new believers and new people coming to the Lord, and what parents do. This is where I have this one. Nope, that one's not there. I have two of these things marked, but I don't remember where they are. Oh, here it is. Nope. Nope, not that one. Okay. I wrote it down somewhere. I have to look, because if I wrote it down, I wrote the page number on it so I can find it. Okay, so they come here and they see this, and they okay. They see that river and they see this kindness there. And then as they leave there, they see the shepherd. And so they begin to see that step over. They get to the place where bypass steps, where what happened to Pilgrim there? He's coming down and he's in this, if you remember, Pilgrim has been walking in the delightful mountains, I believe, or in a nice, wonderful place. He is, the way is easy. The way is green. And then all of a sudden he begins to get to this, where the path beside the river isn't like the river. It isn't like the other side. It begins to get rocky and harder. And so he begin. What does he see? A fence. And then on the other side of the fence, that. Well, he doesn't see the castle yet, but he does see it, that's there. But he sees green pastures. You know, the old, the grass is always greener on the other side. He sees that the way is easier over there. So he, and there's some steps. And if you've been in farm country, particularly in England, and they will have their fences and they have their stone walls, and then they may build a step over it instead of a gate where you walk up and then you walk down. And so that's what Pilgrim and Hopeful do. They go up and over, and they go to the doubting castle. They're in, well, they don't go to the doubting castle. They get pulled into the doubting castle. But they are at those steps, and they begin to think and remember. This is where Pilgrim got off the path. There is a giant there who has not only had Pilgrim, but others, many others have gone there in this castle of despondency and doubting castle. And so they start talking about what they're going to do. Now, you have all these men. You have Greatheart. You have Mr. Honest and these others, and they are looking and trying to decide what should we do. And they said, should we go and try to destroy him? Another would say, oh, but that would be, you know, trespassing on his property. Should we do that and go break into somebody's house and, you know, do this? And we get to the point where Mr. Greatheart says, in page 384, some said one thing and another said the contrary. One questioned if it was lawful to go on unconsecrated ground, not the path, and another said they could, provided the end result was just. We could get off. So Mr. Greatheart said, although that assertion offered last can't be universally true, yet I've been commanded to resist sin, to overcome evil, and to fight the good fight of faith. And I ask, with whom should I fight this good fight if not with giant despair? Therefore, I'll attempt to take away his life and demolish Doubting Castle. Who then will go with me? And Mr. Honest said, I will, and so will we, said Christiana's four sons. And so they decide to go. Now, they left the women, but who did they leave the women with? Which is another neat thing. Pardon? Mr. Feeble Mind and About to Fall. And, you know, it's like Mr. Feeble Mind and About to Fall thought, yes, we can do this. And they were there to help with the weaker ones. So they left the weaker ones, the women, and I can't remember, does it say any children? That says they left the women in the road. So they left them. Yeah, you can't tell, because Christiana says it would be good for your children to be here, and that's where I'm going, well, do they have children or yet? I don't know. We can't tell, but they may have left their children there to be kind of trained and come back and get them at some other day. I don't know. But, so they go to fight. Now, let's think a minute. Let me see what time it is. Okay. Let's think a minute. What is at the castle of despair, the doubting castle? What is there? Got the giant. Do you remember anything about Pilgrim's decision and what happened to him? Because we're not talking about that now. We're not talking about how you get there. We're talking about destroying it. But I want us to remember just a minute how Pilgrim got there, what it was that he did that got him there, and what we can learn from that even again as we think back. The events for Pilgrim went like this. He went bypass Netto, decision to go that way, showed vain confidence that he was confident this is the path. He met with troubles along the path, darkness and a storm, And then giant despair came and said, you're trespassing, and took him to the castle in the dungeon. Now, as you think about what happens in the dungeon, this is that downfall into Great Depression. And when I taught this to my younger girls, one of them is a counselor, and she said, this is exactly what happens to people who go into deep depression. This is the path they take. First of all, what we're seeing is that he made, go over this page. He made some choices, didn't he? Before we get into his downfall into despair and depression, how did he get there? Not the steps he took that way, you know, what he did, but he came to came off God's chosen path and took his own path. So he left the straight and narrow, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, and ignored the word of God, ignored the instructions of God, and which chose his own way, which actually is Satan's way. Okay? He trusted self and others' advice rather than trusting and looking into the word of God. So he begins that going down by getting off the path. And think about people you know. Think about yourself if you've been in depression. Think about people you know. Probably most of us know somebody in our family or friends or somebody who has gone into depression. It begins by not following the word of God and following his. And that can start gradually with little things. You know, it's like the little sins lead to bigger sins, lead to bigger sins. That way. So bypass meadow represents a shrinking back from the hardness of the pilgrimage and departure from its duties. We want something easier. Pilgrim wanted something easier. And remember, in one place, one of those quotes is that Christians will suffer. And you know, Harry taught us that in 1 Peter. Christians suffer. Doesn't matter where you are, so how you suffer somehow because you're in this world, but you will suffer. And oftentimes we want the easier way. Isn't that what happened with the children of Israel? Oh, you brought us here. We don't have food. We don't have water. We don't have this. We're going to grumble against God. And they didn't make it into the promised land. So you depart from what you are know to do and then the way you know to follow an easier path. And so you don't, a lesson is not to make spiritual enjoyments themselves a snare. Sometimes we enjoy the spiritual things, but we want the spiritual enjoyments and the good times of life instead of the hard times, which can sometimes end up being the best times for us as we learn and see how God's providence and God's care takes care of us when we keep following him. Doubting castle is not the will of God for believers, but the effect of sin and unbelief. So you see the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the boastful pride of life, where we look at something that looks better. We look at an easier way, and then we boastfully climb over those steps and go that way. All right, so that's getting him into there. So here now, is if you remember, Bunyan talks about Wednesday morning, Wednesday evening. He gives this in a week's time, kind of, and it's really interesting when you look at it that way, through a couple of 5 days or something like that. They're thrown into a dungeon. You feel like that when you're in depression, don't you? They can't get out. The wife says, tomorrow beats them. And so the next day, the giant beats them without mercy, almost to the point of death. And so we see how they feel. They can't get up. They can't move. So on the next day, and on that night, she says, have them kill themselves. And so the giant comes in the next morning and said, it'd be easier for you if you just go ahead and kill yourself. What does our total despondency, they couldn't eat. They were not given anything to eat, so they were had not had food. They were beaten to where they couldn't move. And the giant says, why don't you kill yourself? And so they debate suicide among the two of them. And that's where Satan brings us sometimes, to where we think, it would be better if I just kill myself. And then that night, diffidence, since they hadn't killed themselves, says, show them the bones of others. So they go to the bone pit where others that have been trapped into the doubting castle. And they're doubting everything they've known, the bone pit, and they beat them again. And so they can't even move. But they don't kill themselves. And so that night, the giant's wife says, she is fearful that they may get help. She has some sense that they may get help. And early Sunday morning, sometime in the night, what happens? Christian remembers that we need to pray. You know, he's at his wit's end. There's nothing else he knows to do. So he begins to pray. He takes up that armor of prayer, all prayer. And as they begin to pray, God brings to their remembrance the key that he has. He has a key. And that key opens every one of the locks. Now that key, Bunyan is probably saying, is the Word of God. You have the Word of God and the power of the Word of God with the Spirit to unlock our hearts, to free us from this dominion of Satan in our life at that point in time. Not overall dominion. So the key works. It opens every gate and they are able to run out. So that gives us a remembrance of what happened with Pilgrim and Hopeful as they were there. And it also helps us see why it was so important for them to destroy Doubting Castle and to destroy the giant. So they come in. Our men, our boys, who are now men, Mr. Greatheart and Mr. Honest, they go over the wall and they walk down there. And they go in there, and the giant, they knock on the door, and the giant and his wife, Diffidence, both come to the door. Mr. Greatheart kills Mrs. Giant right away. And they tell them that they're going to kill him. We're going to defeat you. And so they have a battle, and I love the battle rages on, and everybody's working, but it's Mr. Greatheart who does the blows. And he hits the giant with mortal blows, but the giant keeps fighting until, what does Mr. Greatheart do? He beheads him, takes his head off, and he knows he's dead then. He takes his head off, and then what do? They have the victory, but they want to not only have the victory and kill the giants, but what else are they going to do?